That Great Business Show. Winner, highly commended award, Irish Podcast Awards.
Welcome to episode 187 of That Great Business Show, home of great business tips, insights, and opportunities on every episode, delivered in our commute-friendly package or on board Aer Lingus Long Haul, where we are their podcast partners. Unlock the full potential of your business with Mentors Work, Ireland's award-winning, fully government-funded mentoring program designed to fuel the growth of your business, no matter the sector or size. Mentors Work will help transform your business by providing tailored guidance through one-on-one mentoring sessions, upskilling workshops, as well as networking opportunities. Together with your mentor, you'll also craft a customized six-month business plan to propel your business forward. Try it and test it, and already empowering over 3,000 Irish businesses, register for free today on mentorswork.ie. I'm Conal O'Moran, Fortister. On this episode, fractional is the new black. No matter what size your business, you can now afford to buy a piece of top business talent. And doing it, not talking about it. A one-time actor explains how he has created a software business that is going gangbusters.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
You want a piece of me? Nah, that's not me trying to be the tough guy. It's what I'm hearing more and more with the rise of fractional executives. That's where small businesses like yours can get the benefits of top-end business advice, but at a price you can afford because you're only taking them on for maybe a day, a week, or day, a fortnight even. We covered fractional marketing before when we had Peter McPartlin of the Indie List on episode 166. And we are returning to the topic on this episode because the interest businesses have shown in it. Tony Dignam is founder of Agile Executives, founded 5 years ago, that has 120 consultants on their books. And what caught my eye is Agile Executives' international expansion with consultants available overseas to help your business grow in places as diverse as Pakistan, South Africa, Malta, and of course the UK and the US. Tony Dignam, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you, Conal.
Agile Executives, what do they do?
So we have a range of those 120. We cover, I suppose, a variety of different skill sets. We have quite a number from finance backgrounds. So chief financial officers or former chief financial officers who are now working across a number of businesses in that fractional role or in consulting role or providing mentoring or support to those businesses. We've got people from digital background, sustainability, marketing, sales, pretty much every area that you can think of at this stage that that a business might need support on, particularly as they expand.
Can I be really rude? Do you mind me being really rude?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Would it be unfair to say, why aren't these people, if they're that good, why aren't they full-time in big companies?
A lot of them have been full-time in big companies and have decided that maybe it's the stage of the career. A lot of them are people maybe who've been there, who've done it. A lot of them have set up businesses themselves, have built them up, have sold them on, and are just deciding they want more, maybe more flexibility in their own lives. Like the idea of working and sharing their knowledge across a number of companies. And I think from my own point of view, my background is finance. What I love about working with smaller businesses is the impact you can have. In a big corporate role, you're very much, you're caught in this reporting cycle. It's just the same month end after month end, whereas when you're working with small businesses, you can bring real value to them.
And I was only joking because I do understand the concept and it is such a lovely idea. And it's affordable. How much do these guys cost? Now, you don't have to actually tell me what their day rate is, but for an SME listening at the moment, is it just too much for them? It obviously isn't, because they have to price it right.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly can't afford these and don't need them on a full-time basis. We do see sometimes companies stretching themselves maybe, you know, and bringing in, you know, a resource like this on a full-time basis. And from my own experience, even working in a large multinational, I probably spend 70 or 80% of my time doing work that can easily be done by somebody more junior. So you're actually, that's a waste of money. So that organization, I still work with them on a part-time basis. And they took my advice when I left, and they actually replaced me with somebody at a more junior level who's actually finds that work interesting and challenging, as opposed to I was kind of, I suppose, struggling doing that
bored
work. Bored, yeah. Whereas if you're only in for that time, it works out far more cost effective. And probably for the time, you know, for the cost of having a senior executive, you could have four with different skill sets on a fractional basis. So you're getting that breadth of knowledge across, you know, sales, marketing, finance, sustainability, digital, for the cost of a senior executive.
And you set up 5 years ago. What made you set up?
I was a bit fed up and bored with the full-time role, the corporate role. And I wanted to take control as well of my own sort of destiny. And
that's the happiness,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the pain, but it's also the happiness.
It's the happiness, yeah. I mean, I saw some other people maybe kind of getting later on in their career and maybe getting made redundant and then sort of struggling to find something that was suitable. So I didn't ever want that to happen. So I thought, well, I'm going to take control of this. So I started researching, you know, what was happening, where I could go, what I could do. And I came across the idea that this sort of fractional role was expanding. So I actually went to my employers at the time. They were looking for cost savings. So I said, well, I'll go on a part-time basis and use that time then to go and find other clients that I started to work with. And then had over a coffee with a guy I've known for a long time, a friend of mine. I was sort of outlining my thoughts about how this could be scaled. And he said, if he put some investment into it, would I set up a business in partnership with them?
Happy days.
Which I did, and then bought him out about 18 months ago.
And you are now at 120. Where are you finding all of these 120?
A lot of them have come through referrals. And I suppose a little bit of the background, when I set up the business in 2019, initially there was a small number of people that that I had working with me. And when COVID hit, there was a lot of programs put in place to support businesses. One of them that I know was involved with the show, Mentors Work.
Yes.
So we were the first to get involved in Mentors Work and doing the mentoring back in 2020 when the program launched. And we've been involved in that since. But that sort of forced us to scale and bring skills on. So we went from having five working in our team in March 2020. By the end of April 2020, we'd 80 working with us.
Give me those numbers again.
We went from 5 to 80
in
a month.
That is a jump.
Yeah, and they would have been sort of people that I would have had in my network and would have reached out through connections I had. I ran a mentoring program for Bank of Ireland back in 2008, 2009 in a former business that I had, and I still had lots of the connections that I would have made back then. We had about 80 mentors on that program. So I was able to scale up very quickly for the Mentors Work program.
I know what happened in 2008 if you went to banks.
Well, if they'd have listened to us,
what they all say.
Yeah, well, we were working with their client base. It was a program that I put a proposal to Bank of Ireland at the time to put a mentoring program in place. And we worked with about 1,000 businesses to sort of help them navigate their way through the financial crisis.
Okay, that's a nice idea. So you were part of the banks trying to solve the issues for the smaller businesses?
For the smaller businesses.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Now, we weren't getting paid at the time. The idea was that the bank would sort of promote the work we were doing, and then we would get the opportunity to engage with businesses then afterwards. And the agreement was we'd do the first, I think it was 2 hours free, and I'd no problem getting 80 very experienced consultants to come on board. And then it kind of evolved. We were doing a lot of those mentoring programs with Mentors Work. We were doing programs with Enterprise Ireland. We did some directly with SkillNet. We did a variety of programs. And over that time, that's how we grew to the 120 consultants. And then in 2022, looked to see how do we leverage this more? And that the other thing that was happening around the same time was the growth of businesses like Upwork, Fiverr, TopTal, these marketplaces are platforms where you could go and look for skills, find them. If you're looking for a developer, you'll find somebody in India or Pakistan. So our model was more at the strategic side. We thought, but if we use that same concept, same idea of having a platform where people can go and find the skills they're looking for, and that's where we've been going now. We launched that in February this year with Minister Neil Richmond. He launched our platform for us.
And what can I do on your platform?
You can go and search for, if you're looking for very particular skills. So if you're looking, you know, if you're a software company and you're looking to find somebody, a CFO who has experience in fundraising and business planning, you can go in and sort of filter and find exactly the person with the right skill sets that you're looking for. Now, we're also trying to look and expanding that internationally. So if you're looking to go from Ireland into the US or Canada or the UK, you can go and find that same skill set.
And that was the perfect segue, because that is what I was going to ask you about. Anybody who's in business, their big fear and trepidation is to go into an overseas market when you just don't know what's going to happen. And I was looking at your website, and I saw the US, obviously. And we've done a series of 14 interviews called Beachhead USA. And one of our speakers on that, when we went to the States to talk about setting up in the States, they were talking about having to have $1 million as a base if you're going to open in New York, for example, with a sales operation. Can you make that cheaper?
Yeah, because again, if you're, you know, typically when, you know, an Irish company is looking to go into the UK or the US, they're looking, well, how do you get set up? So there's all the costs of the legal side, the accounting side of getting your business operating. Whereas using the fractional model, you've got, instead of having to use one of the big accountancy firms, you can use somebody who's a commercial, you know, CFO, who would have good experience in many areas. Most CFOs are pretty good on, you know, sales, marketing. A lot of them have run businesses before. So they can help you get established, help you, you know, get your banking set up, helping you get a virtual office set up, helping you get some of those other skills. Having a virtual marketing person or a fractional marketing person can help you tiptoe into the US, you know, market. And again, this is our plan for 2024 is to really expand that. So if you want particular skills, so if you're a software company, we want to have a software expert in marketing in the US who can really help be that person to help you get that foothold and to start that at a much lower investment level.
But that is getting into minute detail, which means that you're at 120. I thought you said to me that 120 will do for the while. But I mean, you might have 1,200 people very suddenly if you want to get it that granular.
Yeah, and that we are going to have to scale to that level.
And what does that mean, cash-wise?
It's
funding?
Yeah, we are looking at funding options ourselves at the moment. As I said, our initial sort of focus is on trying to support Irish companies going into international markets. And I think we can grow, you know, the network. I had a call, very interesting call with a guy last week, an Irish guy in the UK who's a CFO. And he's introducing me to 10 CFOs that he has contacts with. A number of them are in international markets. And that's how the network grows. So to grow that network is not hugely costly. The admin and the management of it is where we need to maybe invest and make it that we can get that slicker to get people on board. And we're looking at that at the moment. And we're in discussion about getting some grants and supports ourselves. We've become a real expert in getting grants and supports for all our clients. And now we're starting to look at how we can do that for ourselves as well.
I presume you would be deemed to be an export business, aren't you? Selling your skills out.
Yes. Yes.
So does that mean EI might be coming to the rescue, will they?
Well, we've had some discussions with EI. We do a lot of work with them. In fact, we're actually doing some consultancy in EI at the moment on some of their own internal projects as well. We've had some good meetings, like right up to senior management in EI, and they like what we're doing and like the fact that we are developing that international network of consultants. One of the things we do, we manage part of their mentor network for them.
Well, let's talk about mentors, because I cannot tell people enough times how wonderful mentors are. They're almost like, it's ridiculously important for a business to have a mentor or mentors.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking football earlier, and it's mentor in a lot of ways is similar to having a coach or a manager in football. It's somebody who's there to sort of guide you. But I think particularly in business, having a mentor, somebody who's been there before. I've had a mentor myself over the last number of months, and you know, and yet I do mentoring for other businesses. So even mentors have mentors.
Well, talk to me about that. What did that person do, man or woman? Do they focus you something in some which way or?
Yeah, it's there when I was working on developing an export plan, which is part of the grant process that we're going through. And I suppose it forced me to take the ideas that I have in my head and sort of focus them down to, you know, I've got this vision of where I want the business to be in 5 years' time, but it really forced me to sort of say, okay, what are the steps I need to put in place in order to get from where I am now to where that's going to, you know, be? And I don't think there was anything in that was necessarily new to me. But his sort of just probing and asking questions and sort of challenging sort of forced me to put it all down in paper and put it down in a plan that actually started to hang together.
And since it is on paper, you're going to have to tell me what is the plan in 5 years' time. And you can't say, oh, I don't know. It's on a piece of paper somewhere.
Yeah, well, the plan is to for Agile Executives and our platform, Agile Connect, to be an international business.
What's the dream?
What's the dream? The dream is to have it that, I mean, there's one of our competitors, I won't say who it is they're in about 20 countries and they have their £50 million business. And I don't see why we can't be something similar.
And is that an Irish business?
No, it's a UK.
Yeah.
It'd be a UK competitor.
And there's nothing to stop you being equal, if not better than that, correct?
Nothing to stop. And I've spoken to a number of the CFOs I've been talking to in the last number of weeks would have been associates of this competitor. And they think our model is a better model, both from their point of view, in that it's a fairer model as they see. It's more flexible. And they think it covers every position within it, as I said, across finance, digital, sales, marketing. So a better solution for the clients.
And I said at the beginning that you are amongst many other countries in Pakistan, South Africa, Malta, and the UK and US. How did you end up with a Pakistan as a location?
Through people here that actually are originally from Pakistan or have Pakistan, you know, origins.
And so, did you have a chat to find out what the opportunities are? I mean, these countries can be vast. There is a big economy in a lot of these countries, big opportunities.
Yeah, and in particular, we've developed strong relationships. And there's a lot of South Africans in Ireland now. So that's becoming a bigger market and an easier market for a lot of people. So it's trying to tap into the fact that I think is that 30% of people in Dublin are non-nationals now. So a lot of our 120 are non-nationals. And then they have their own connections and network that they're now starting to introduce us to. And we're getting that interest from people outside of Ireland.
And I didn't prep you for this now. So if there isn't an answer, I don't mind. But in terms of a big win, anybody that you have worked with or that your associates have worked with, that there were some really impressive wins that you can use as up on the website as big claims?
Well, one of the clients, and a lot of the clients don't like their names because they don't like the information necessarily being public.
Good.
But one of the clients I started working with in 2019, they had about 130 employees at the time. They're now 350 employees. Their turnover is about 7 million. They're going to hit over 20 this year.
That's chunky.
So, you know, sizable growth, you know, in that business and significant improvements in the profitability of the business as well.
Which always helps. And did they go overseas with you or did you bring them overseas?
They haven't gone overseas. That's all in Ireland at this stage. But there's a number of others for different, another great example of a client is one we started working with on a one-day mentoring assignment. We then identified there was opportunities to get other grants and supports for them. So we managed to get them significant grants and supports through Enterprise Ireland, help them really scale their business. And then they've now had an international buyer has come in and bought them over. So from their point of view, you know, a great success. And
they've
cashed in and one of our team has been working with them since 2020 and continues to work with them, even though they're part of an international group now, still providing that fractional CFO and support and mentoring the CEO and the senior team at the same time.
So what would you like to hear from our listeners in terms of making contact with you? Do you want them as clients? Presumably. But what about those who say, yeah, I like this model and I'm not going to stay with the big firm for the rest of my natural?
Yeah, I mean, we're always keen to strengthen the team that we have. The stronger the team, the better we can support the clients. But certainly looking for clients. I mean, one of the things we've also, and I mentioned it, we've also been able to do is become kind of one of the most connected organizations for getting access to grants and supports. We do a lot we work with 15 different local enterprise offices. We work with Enterprise Ireland. We've done work with Intertrade Ireland. We work with SkillNet. We're now doing the mentoring again and mentors work this year again.
And as you mentioned, our kind supporters of the podcast.
Yeah, so there's 1,000 positions for businesses to sign up to mentors work this year.
And it's FREE, isn't that right?
It absolutely is. And that gets you access to
team. I don't know why people have just like locusts moved in on it.
Well, I think this phase had only launched, I think, about maybe 6 weeks ago. And I think we're up to about 150, 200 businesses that have signed up. So it is getting a lot of interest. And as I said, you know, the quality of the team that we have supporting them and has always been, you know, a very strong team right from when the program was launched in 2020.
When will you find out about your own funding? When will you say, look, we're going to do it this way and for this amount?
There's different stages to that. So I'm working on, there's a particular grant application I'm working on at the moment. We're looking at other things. There's some great supports. We're looking at it from through SBCI. There's a future growth loan scheme that we're working on that for a number of our own clients, but we're also working on that for ourselves.
No harm in knowing the process.
Yeah. So I think that's a great great access to funding. And it's that SBCI solution, I think, is something. You know,
in round figures, what is that particular grant or that particular funding?
That particular, we're probably looking for $500,000 funding through that, which would really help us ramp up the
Because it is a bit of a land grab, isn't it? Like, get out there and do it rapidly, isn't that it?
Yeah, yes. I mean, there's this huge sort of growth internationally in the whole fractional model at the moment. I'm not even sure that the phrase a year ago kind of existed. It was part-time, it was as a service, but the concept of fractional just in the last 12 months. And I think
sounds sexy.
But it also, I think, is a sign that something is becoming mainstream when there's actually a specific phrase or term that's been used for it. And I think that combined with our platform and the model and how we're doing it and sort of engaging consultants with different skills and different backgrounds and the referral sort of opportunities we're creating in the model, I think it's something we do need to move on quickly to.
And again, thank God for technology, because based on our tiny little island, we can talk to the world and we can bring agile executives to the world.
Yeah, I mean, it'll still be, you know, we will be, you know, always running it from here. You know, we will need to presumably eventually possibly set up offices in other locations, but we can do most of it still from here and just continue to build the central team, you know, and the model all based from here.
As can happen. Now, you know, the final question, because I made sure that you were told about it, is who would Tony Dignam hire in a heartbeat?
Well, apart from the 120 consultants that we have on our platform, because, you know, they're obviously, you know, all, you know, top in their field. But yeah, there was a couple of people that I had,
on
my list. Yeah. And one, like I mentioned, you know, unfortunately, she's not around anymore, but my own mother was one of the best salespeople I ever came across, and I'd love to have her selling for the business.
You could say you did not lick it off the street. What was your mom, and how did she show her sales prowess?
Well, she always had a great energy to get out and sell whatever it might be. But I suppose her real success of sales, she was with a company, Mace Promotions, who were a marketing company and did advertising and golf umbrellas and many other things. But she started selling awnings and eventually became sales director of Mace. And that would have been back in the 70s and 80s when it wasn't so fashionable for women to be in director positions. So she was an exceptional woman.
And did she actually teach you anything, or did you learn by watching, or what was the process?
I learned by watching, but one of the things that she always wanted little bits of advice. If you ever get into an office in a meeting and somebody offers you a tea or coffee, take it. Because it means you're guaranteed to get at least 20 minutes of their time if you're getting a tea or coffee, as opposed to if you say no, it might only end up being a 5 or 10 minute meeting.
Okay, I'll remember that.
So
and I'll thank your mum for that.
Yeah.
Was there somebody else?
There's a couple of others. Another in particular is somebody I was in school with, again, who's a brilliant salesperson, Brian Buffini, who is became hugely successful in the US. And I probably will be reaching out to him to tap into his US network.
What was he doing in the US?
Well, he went over, his brother has had a painting and decorating business in the US, and he went over straight from school. And
there was a family in the theatre called the Buffinis, weren't there?
I don't know. They were originally not from too far away. They were Dundrum originally. But he went over and became, I think, Relex's number one salesperson in all of the US.
Okay.
And now has his own business where he teaches other people how to sell and to be expert in sales, particularly in the real estate area. But I would spend some time on his floor in San Diego when I'd left college, sleeping on his floor.
not passed out.
No, sleeping. But hugely successful, and I still kind of keep in touch with him.
Good.
And there's so many amazing people I've met over the years. That
you are a networker at heart. Full time. I mean, full on networker. Yep.
Yeah. I wouldn't have always been. You know, I suppose when you're in the corporate world in a finance role, you tend to be. You know, there isn't that I suppose opportunity or need for networking. But I still would have always made sure I got out when I was finance director in a manufacturing company. I got taught how to make the product, so I could get down on the factory floor at the busy quarter ends and. It builds relationships and trust, you know. So, and I've always done that in finance roles. I got out and learned how, when I was in Compass Catering, I learned how to, well, I got in the kitchen area, and in the Aviva Stadium, I served in behind the bar, even though I was finance director, because I felt you had to learn the business. And
that's,
I suppose, in that,
yeah.
in itself. And I suppose, yeah, again, my mother would have done that. She, in the umbrella factory, a busy time, she would have been putting handles on umbrellas. So I think that's something I've always done as well. Learn, you know, some of the tougher jobs when you're in a company.
I better lock down the microphones here, because you might start taking over my job now. That is really, really interesting. So, Tony Dignam, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show. Where will anybody find you? Agile Executives, plural.
Yes.
And the second one is? There's a second organization that you have, isn't there?
No, it's Agile. Well, Agile Connect is the platform.
Okay.
That's
so
on.
Go
so
to
it's
Agile Connect.
AgileExecutives.ie. Yeah, and I'm just tony@agileexecutives.ie.
And you'll answer the phone.
Yep.
And you'll have a chat.
Yeah.
Particularly if it's a bit soccer.
Yeah.
Tony Dignam, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
That Great Business Show.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
That Great Business Show. Winner, highly commended award. Irish Podcast Awards.
I'll talk to my next guest about business matters in a second, but I learned something interesting about him that prompted me to ask him about when he thinks about business. Ray Ryan is founder of the Knowledge Group, a merger of two companies, OSSM and Envisage. What I learned was that Ray is a dedicated Camino Way walker, carrying a rucksack over 850 kilometers, albeit over 6 years. That's what I'm saying. He didn't walk it for 6 years. He spent periods over 6 years walking the walk. Ray Ryan, what were you thinking about when you were walking? Business or pleasure?
Quite a lot, actually. It's a place where you can think a lot. I think the Camino started as something that a group of people were all talking about to do, and we all went. And there's two ways of doing the Camino, Connell. There's the hard way and the soft way. One is getting your bags moved for you from hotel to hotel. And
that's my way.
That's your way. And the other way is to carry your bag with
you. That's your way.
That's my way. Well, the nice thing, and it was interesting because we always spend, or we do spend most of our life having to be somewhere at some point at some time. And when you do it the easy way, it means you have to be in that village, in that place at that time. And here was a chance for me to go and not be anywhere at any place at any time. And the freedom that that gave me and the time it gave me to think said to me, this is the right way to do it. And so we had done the first year, and myself and my sister-in-law, who was the only other one who put up her hand and said, I think you're right, Ray, let's go do it that way. And we did.
And did you think about your business when you were walking? Or is it something
it's
far, far away?
No, because you do get those moments in the morning where you do have to do things, but it's not so much that piece. The Camino is a very strange place in terms of who you meet. And I've always said about the Camino, and my sister-in-law says exactly, you meet the people you're meant to meet. I remember on year three, when I had got a bit brave among myself, and I just thought, I can handle this. You're only supposed to carry 10% of your weight on your back. That's the kind of golden rule. I just thought I could manage that a little bit more. And by day two, both my feet were completely blistered. And of course, there's no prevention. There's no cure. Prevention is the cure.
When it's popped, it's popped.
Yeah, when they pop, they pop. So I'm kind of on day three now walking, and every footstep is like a bed of nails. And I happened to let Judy go ahead, and I was trying to come into this town. She was about maybe 20 minutes ahead of me, and I could see the stone bench. And I said, I'll make it that far. And sitting on the bench when I got there was another walker. It looked like he'd been walking for all his life, though. He just looked a seasoned walker. And he looked at me, and I actually was crying at that point in time, because the pain was so hard on my feet. And he said, you're really struggling. I said, I am. I really am. That's not my first time. I'm annoyed at myself. I'm more experienced. And he said, did you have a bad business year, or did you have a bad year? And I said, well, kind of. I had a very tough year in trying to grow the business and trying to move it on, and an awful lot was on my shoulders. And he said, that's exactly it. You carry on your back what you carry in the weight in your mind. You need to get a lot off your mind to ease the pain on your shoulders. And he got up and left.
Wow.
Stuck with me.
I'd say you did.
And
or it did.
And when I came back, I changed an awful lot about the business.
Talk to me about it. Go back one step, because I deliberately introduced you in a roundabout way. You better talk about what the business is.
Oh, what the business is. Yeah, well, we're predominantly in the financial accounting business software sector. We represent two very strong accounting products in the marketplace. One of them is Sage, which is a very strong and well-known brand. And the other is Oracle NetSuite, which is another well-known business software brand. So our whole modus operandi about life is to try and make business easier for people to do. That's how I've looked at it all my life. How can I make this thing easier? Except when I looked at my own life. And it was at that particular point, seeing that you brought up the story, that I said, this has got to be easier to do. And I reflected, we had gone into Enterprise Ireland to talk to them about helping us grow the business and expand the business. And I remember them asking us questions, and they said, now, who does this piece? And kind of the three of us there, Ray does that. Who does the other piece? Oh, Ray actually does that. And who does that? So Ray was doing quite a lot. And it was particularly obvious to me that if Ray kept doing it, the business was going to go nowhere.
And you weren't going to be walking the Camino either.
And I certainly wasn't going to be walking the Camino. So yes, it did make me reflect on how the weight of the business should be carried among more. And there was another very striking thing about business, and I think this is interesting for anybody trying to grow a business. You suddenly realize we had grown the business to about a 1.2, 1.5 million turnover, and we were 15 or 16 people. We kept being at 1.5 and 1.6 million for quite a number of years. And until I figured out, particularly after this Camino piece, that's all that they can do. That's all this group of people can do. If we want to do more, we need to add more people to the business. And there's hugely this great fear with guys and girls in business that, oh my God, overhead. Yes, be conscious of overhead, and very much so do that. But if you want to grow a business, you can't do it on your own. And if you want to get from 1.5 million to 5 million, you need to assess it in your mind that you need more people to help grow the business. Now, I know that can be dictated by the type of business that you're in. But in our business, we need skill sets and we need to deliver our solutions to customers. Well, the 15 people can only deliver it to so many people.
But would you not call that a lifestyle business and that there's a different attitude?
That's exactly where it got to. And it was that for a while till I said, there's got to be more. It's got to be more than this. We can do this bigger and better and easier on ourselves. So, yeah, I did realize that to grow, you need to grow with people.
And besides chatting to this anonymous man on a bench, who else guided you, or where did you take your inspiration and or your knowledge to make the shift?
Quite a number of people. I've been very fortunate in my life, Conal. I came from a family, a business family. We were Ryans of Arbor Hill as a family, and I was looking at all the ducting that's on the top of the roof here, and that's what our family business used to be.
Isn't it funny what we look at? Like, you obviously know your ducting, and I look out at the same ducting, and it would never cross my mind.
Yeah. My brother, who was more into it than I was, he was a metallurgical technician, and that's a term I don't hear too often these days.
That's what the judge called him anyway.
Yeah, that's what the judge definitely would call him. But I was also blessed because my wife's father, a guy called Dick O'Neill, was a founding director of the Smurfit Group, and I was very, very fortunate to have him in my life. Dick was an amazing guy. He ran Smurfit's and then he branched out onto his own companies like Boswire. But he was always on the move. He had his fingers in business. And he just gave me such guidance as a young guy trying to get out. A few very interesting things he said to me. He said to me, when I said to him, Dick, I'm thinking of going out on my own. He said, That's great. He said, there's only a couple of things I'm going to say to you. He said, there's only two things that will ever put you out of business. And I said, yes, Dick, what's? He said, that's cash flow and enthusiasm. He said, you can control one, but if you don't have enthusiasm, you'll be gone. That's really interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. He said, the second thing is, it's easy. And I went, what do you mean? It's No. Business is definitely easy. All you have to do is what you say you're going to do. And it's as easy as that. If you don't do that, then it's complicated. And they were two very simple learnings that I got out of my father-in-law, who's coached quite a few of the family who are now successful.
And when you say he kind of coached you, did he sit down formally with you, or are you having cups of tea or whatever?
Cups of tea.
Yeah.
Cups of tea. No, he was too busy doing his other things himself. Yeah. And he was in business all the way up to the very end. And he had so many ideas, packaging. And so he had a packaging business and he ran the Smurfit business. And when he moved out of Smurfits, he moved into his own businesses. He had a wire business that was for cutting the stapling wire that actually went into stapler box. He had that business.
So all of these, somebody has got to make them.
Somebody's got to make something.
I love looking at those things and say, yeah, there is a business in there because there has to be,
Yeah, well, it's just when you take that generation of Irish guys and women who built Irish businesses in the hard days, like they had the hard ride to get through it. And they were full of knowledge and full of ideas because you had to have ideas.
That was the 1980s and before.
And before, yeah. 60s to 80s.
When there wasn't an industry, there wasn't even an economy in this country for those who actually remember back that far. And that doesn't make it any easier nowadays because we are internationalized. That's hugely beneficial, but there's competition. And obviously you've now, if I'm correct, you're now also in the UK, correct?
Yep.
And you took a decision to go into the UK. Why?
Well, it was the same thing about growth. We understood the opportunity for what we were doing was vast in the UK marketplace. So we've three different strands to the business. We have the Sage products that we sell. We have the Oracle NetSuite products that we sell. And we have our own product that we designed and developed ourselves called Connections. That's what we call it. And I could see, I've always kind of thought that nobody was really interested in Ray Ryan getting on a plane to Manchester with a briefcase to sell a product called Sage, which was already being sold.
Oh, we're going to make the point. It's already there.
Yeah. So if I could bring across something that added value to that product, then we had a chance in the marketplace. So when we found ourselves in a situation where we were writing our own software, which is particularly for the retail sector, and even more particularly for the convenience and forecourt stores in that sector.
Why did you choose them?
Well, it's coincidence and one of life's...
Another lad sitting on a bench and
when he was in Galway. we were kind of fortunate that we were talking to a company, and it was the original customer, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying the company is called Carob Oil. And Carob Oil,
I know their vans,
you'll see them, and a guy called Richard Carroll. And Richard is a very good and foresight and thinking ahead about automation and making business easier for himself. And when we spoke to him, we had this time frame by where he was taking information out of a point of sale system and keying it into his accounting system. And he asked me, could we do something better than that? And when we looked at the accounting software and we looked at the EPOS system and we spoke to the people, they said, well, we can take that information electronically, but I don't just want to put it in, Ray. I want to make sure it goes in correctly to the right places. So what we did was then take the information and map it to, I won't get technical, but his nominal ledger, so that all of the information broke.
See my
out.
Eyes glazing over?
I know. that the information went to the right place in his accounting system without him having to think. Now, when you've got 16 stores and you're trying to do that manually, it becomes an impossibility. So you just dump it into one, but that never gave him proper analysis. So we technically did that. Then when we'd done it, he said, thank you, but that's not my problem. I said, okay, what's your problem? Then he brought me up to another room by where he had six people sitting down and they were taking a delivery docket and an invoice and they were going 1, 1, 199, 199, VAT. And they were doing this manually. And he said, we want to grow our business and we can't grow it if this is the case. Can you automate that and make that easier? And it was something we technically could do. We could take the delivery details out of the point of sale system. We could take the invoicing's details from the suppliers and electronically match them and post them again correctly, automatically over to the accounting system. And in doing so, rather than waiting a year to get his position of his businesses on each retail store, he was able to get that information at the end of every month for every store. And he told me when we did it for him, it was, we started in November and then finished in February with all of the stores ending their month. He said, this is the first time ever in their business that they ever had that chance to get that figure.
It's mad, isn't it?
It's mad, but making business easier is what it really is all about.
And how come you guys were able to do it and others hadn't got it done?
A lot of people had something like they would call, and again, I won't get glossy on terms, but they were doing a bit of a file transfer from one to the other. So we'll take all of that and shove all of that there. But there was no breakdown, no analysis of it, no proper coding of it, no checking of it, no making sure that it added up.
But why were they not doing that?
It's like one of these things in life, Colin, isn't it? That you're asked, can you do that? And it made sense to me straight away. The minute I saw it, it made sense to me straight away that this, now we deal with companies in the UK who have 50 to 100 stores. And the value that we now can bring is really interesting. And this is only in one part of our business. We have added into that to keep it relevant. It was another thing that was said to me by somebody else. The most important thing in business, Ray, is to stay relevant. So in staying relevant...
That helps, I believe.
It does help, yeah. It does help. So we're adding in the measurement of energy usage. So if you take a typical forecourt store, it might have a deli. We'll know what they're buying from the goods that come in. We'll know what they're selling from what's going out. We'll know what even the payroll cost may be because it's in the accounting software that we deal with. But they also have another cost that no one's measuring at this point in time properly, which is the oven that's cooking all of this food that's going out.
Hang on a second. Surely your electricity bills or gas bills, whatever you're burning...
It'll only tell you the total.
Okay.
It won't break it down by individual appliance.
Okay.
Or sector of the business. So you'd have a chill wall, a freezer wall, you'd have ovens, you'd have central air conditioning. All of these things are chewing up. And I keep talking to my own clients about the big focus retailers have is getting money in the door. And in a way, some of these retailers don't focus on controlling the money going out the door. And Richard Carroll in fairness to him, was one of these good men with foresight. There are now 32 stores and growing still.
Fabulous. Now, back to the expansion.
The beginning, sorry, yeah.
No, not the beginning, the expansion into the UK.
Yeah.
So you said there's a big market across the water.
Yeah.
And there are lots of them. And what was the initial thing? Where did you start? Where did you set up base?
Well, we didn't. We don't have to. The nice thing, because our business is in the IT sector, when COVID came, we already had people operating remotely. So it wasn't new to us to do it. It wasn't new to us to be implementing something somewhere else with a person that sat down in Cork or a person who sat in Waterford, a person who sat in Derry. We already had that in place. So going and attacking the UK marketplace, now knowing that we had a solution that we could bring that no one else had, was the reason we decided to go in there. But when I say vast, in this particular area alone, and I haven't spoken about the rest of the business at all, this is just one section of it. In the UK, there are 46,000 convenience stores. There are 16,000 over here. So I kind of set us...
That doesn't actually add up for me in a reason. I always just put my finger up and say anything in the UK is 10 times bigger because of the just numbers of population. So they should have 160,000.
No, it's not as simple as some of that.
I do know that a lot of those villages have shut down anyway.
I mean, you there's, and a part of that marketplace would be Tesco Express, and they're the stores we're never going to get to. But I've given the team an audacious challenge, and I just think that's the kind of thing you should do.
That's probably what you say. They probably say impossible.
Well, we currently are operating. We've had a chance to completely rewrite this software in the cloud, so that's a complete new attraction for us. And we've spent the last 2 years getting there on our own. So we're bringing our current customers over to that version, in the cloud version. But I want us to be in over 1,000 stores by the end of this year, and in 3 years' time, in 10,000 stores.
Okay, that's ambitious.
It's ambitious, yeah.
What does that mean in terms of growing the business itself? As in, you know, you need boots on streets, or how are you knocking on doors?
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting because digital marketing, and that'll be a point I'll make later on in talking to you about the way this world is changing.
You better speed it up because you're going to get in time.
Okay.
You'll have to come back for part two. And we have done part twos and part threes. So,
okay. It's a very identifiable marketplace. And bearing in mind, some of the clients that we can talk to can have anything from 100 to 200 to 300 stores. Yeah. So it's really a matter of us identifying the right audience, getting to them in a digital way that you can now do.
Well, talk to me. Actually, I'm always beyond curious about, do you sit down, I don't know, on your LinkedIn, or what do you use to try to identify these people?
I've got an amazing marketing team. And an awful lot of these these retailers are belong to organizations.
And we
can penetrate those organizations, and those organizations hold specific events. So in real terms...
And Ray pitches up at these events, I presume.
We pitch up at our little tent and we're there. Yeah. I've been very, very fortunate because our relationships business-wise and personal with the EPOS providers has been very, very strong.
EPOS, electronic
point of sale system. Yeah. Sorry, must remember the acronyms, not to be. But these companies have been very, and they're Irish companies, and they've been very successful in the UK marketplace with this area. So they've been introducing us along the way.
Well, that's very good of them.
It is very good of them, yeah, because we do something they don't want to do or have to deal with when they used to. They don't do it anymore. We take the accounting headache away.
One nice thing about the financial business is that it's the same all over the world. It's not a different language. So do you have bigger ambitions? If there are 70 million people in the UK, there are 550 million across the EU. That goes considerably bigger again.
Yeah, it's not as easy as saying that because the fiscal laws...
That's what I do.
Fiscal laws in each one of these countries are different.
But the additions aren't, as in, you know, adding one and one.
Yes, but reporting them back to where they need to be reported to ARS. But to address that, we traditionally are a SAGE business partner, they would call us. And we grew our business in the Irish marketplace. And As a result of having our own software, we have now grown customers in the UK marketplace. But cloud made a very big statement in our industry. And once you kind of put the word cloud around what you did, there was an expectation that you were international. And for us, originally, when we wanted to look into this cloud space, because this was the obvious one for us to grow in, the product we could only find that would suit us, that would address exactly as the point you have made, is the Oracle NetSuite product at the time. They had a solution that met all of that fiscal requirement and language requirement and output requirement for each one of those countries. So for us, getting involved with the Oracle NetSuite product was really, really interesting in helping us grow, because it brought us to a different kind of customer. Customers who would take on the Oracle NetSuite product were customers who were growing in these foreign markets and who did need the reporting capability of a system that was one system, but allowing it report in all of those different. So we've gone as far as Bulgaria at this particular point in time in implementing software systems. Yeah,
but you were brought to Bulgaria basically by an existing client.
By an existing
client. You weren't going around Bulgaria knocking on doors.
No, and I don't think I'll do that. But that's how we see we will expand. We have other customers that are in Germany and Spain, and we're implementing software solutions for them. But this product allows us and enables us to do that.
So where are you in terms of numbers nowadays?
Yeah, interesting. In 2019, we were hanging around this 1,500 with 15, or 1.5 million with 15 people. So I did set us a challenge to get to, in 5 years, which is this year, to 5 million and 40 people. We did that in 2022.
Oh, that was quick.
Well, it was, but I didn't notice.
That's 2 years ahead of.
Yeah, it was. But I noticed we stayed there for 2 years. And I was looking at the business going, okay, we've gone this far. Why can't we? Why? And it's only that you don't set yourself that challenge. And the second piece, we are now at 40 people. That's what 40 people can do in my industry. So we're now heading for 70 people and 10 million.
Well, why 70, not 80 or 100 or 60?
Interesting again. Yeah. When I did the first one, if somebody had have asked me that question, what will the 40 people do? I would have said, I have no clue. I just know I need 40. But now I know exactly what those 70 people will do in the business and what part of the business that they'll need to be in. And the first three we've added at this particular point in time are to the marketing side. So we're now at 43 or something like that. And believe it or not, these three are in South Africa. But it's not unusual. We have developers in India. We have developers. And I did hear your previous guest talk about that kind of world. It is the world we now live in.
It is, and it's fabulous, and it's hugely opportunistic for Irish businesses.
Hugely.
Because there are no borders.
No.
Really, yeah.
So no, and that's the whole point. Yeah, there's no borders.
Coming off a teeny little island, as we do, we should be just thinking global, nothing else, just global. Now, back to the questions of numbers and all, is you could take it easy. Like, think of your poor, sore feet. And you could just, as many do, just say, okay, I've topped out here at 40. What's the drive to bring it to 80, to bring it to 160, to bring it to whatever?
It's out there. When you look to a marketplace and you see what you are capable of doing, it's kind of wrong not to want to grow this.
Well, let me twist it around.
Yeah.
People don't know this about you. You could have been an actor. It could have been something completely different.
Well, thanks to a woman called Anne Kavanagh, I had spent my youth was guitar playing and drama, although I'm a sports fanatic. I love sport, but that's where I spent. So, yeah, Andrew Scott, I don't know if that name would ring a bell to you, but Andrew was just nominated just recently for BAFTAs and that with Paul Mescal. And Andrew would have been, when I was Fagin and Oliver, Andrew would have been in my gang. Now, I know why I'm not where Andrew is. I did not have the skill he has. And a forewarning from my father that if you're not really going to be super at it, don't do it. But the acting and the drama thing has been very, very useful to me from a communications point of view, because that's what the arts are really all about. They're all about communicating. And if you take an actor like Andrew Scott, in fact, there's two sides of it. It's what he gives you back. But for him to give you that back, he actually listens and studies the character he's going to play. So if you don't listen and absorb, you can't bring back the solution, which is the acting. And when I translate that to my world, when I looked at what the man in Galway was doing and I listened and absorbed, I could bring back and communicate to him that we can do this for you. And that's been the nice thing about the drama background for me from a business perspective.
You can turn anything to your advantage, really, can't you? Like any skill.
Well, we have this little slogan inside that I make, but I think we work under, and I call it right first time. And you will only get yourself to getting it right first time, which is the least cost for you and the least cost for from your customer, if you actually listen at the beginning.
That always helps in business. The name of the company, where did that come from?
We were struggling trying to send out different messages as to what we do under an envisaged brand and an awesome brand.
Oh, is that how you used to, brand. I was saying OSSM. That's meant to be awesome, is it?
It's a play on the word.
It's awful.
You could go there. But we affectionately call ourselves awesome. But that means we've awesome staff and we've awesome customers and we've. But in the real terms, the knowledge group came from
NOLEDGE.
We knocked the K off on purpose because we couldn't register the word knowledge as a word. We went through the process in the business of bringing in a professional branding crew, and they're currently working with us at the moment on another project. But they went through that exercise of what is your business? What is it like? And when they interviewed all the staff, they came back and said, you know, the one thing you guys keep telling us is you have knowledge. And they affectionately came up with the knowledge.
And did you get a .com for that?
No. We have a .ie and .com for that.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And we've
that is a big problem, trying to find a word. You may have the most lovely word, including awesome, spelled O-S-S-M.
Well, it actually is a proper... it actually is the international scientific's definition of a cloud system. It's online, it's self-serviceable, it's scalable, and it's measurable.
I knew that.
I know you didn't.
Final question, Ray. Who would you hire in a heartbeat?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask this question, so you don't mind if I came prepared.
You're very well prepared. He's got a notebook and he's opening pages.
No, I did say to you that I had the benefit and the huge benefit of my father-in-law being who he was. And within his family, have been quite a number of successful members of his family. But my wife's cousin is a lady called Gemma Webb, who hails from Glenmire. And Gemma also spent a lot of time, as she would call him, with Uncle Dick. But she has become a phenomenal business person. And very few people would know this, but she went off having done her studies into Europe, and she got involved in manufacturing in Belgium, and then came back and did some M&A work in the UK, and then eventually found herself in British American Tobacco. And she became the general manager of BJ Carroll's in Ireland. That closed down under her guidance. But then
because they
were rationalizing. And then she became the general manager of UK and Ireland for British American Tobacco. Then they moved her to the regional head of Western Europe, where in 23 markets, she was managing 4.5 billion in turnover. Then she moved on to BAT Romania, where she managed a business turning over 1.9 billion and was the fourth largest contributor to revenue in Romania. Having retired from that, she became president of the FMCG, which is Fast Moving Consumer Goods Council Association in Romania. She then became president of the Romanian Irish Business Association. Now, Gemma has been kind of talking to me and helping me and guiding me. And when she got to that area, I said, would you not come and do something and help? And she said, no, well, I've never done a startup, Ray. Only to find a year later that she has just launched and completed within a year, $100 million investment in what they call Rutro Romania, which is the deposit return scheme from Romania. She started that from scratch, and in less or just over a year, from a nothing business, has the complete return system, including everything that happens with it up and running in Romania.
She is some lady.
She is some lady.
And you did say Glanmire.
I did say Glanmire.
In Cundé Chorchig.
Yeah.
Well, if she would like to come on, we would love to have the chats with her because she sounds outstanding.
She is a very capable
And as you
woman.
Say, I haven't heard of her and with the greatest of respect, I just haven't.
And secondly, just to show you that I do listen to your program, you had on Ashley MacDonald.
Isn't she brilliant?
Well, I do have an amazing marketing team. One of them is my daughter as well, so I have to say that. But I just would love if I could bring her in to once a month, once every 6 months, just to talk to our team about marketing and her understanding of digital marketing, where the marketing world is going and the technology surrounding it. She was just amazing to listen to.
Well, behind the scenes here, she has been so good for nothing, because she's just so supportive. And she has been on to various other people who have been on the podcast trying to help them, and they are chasing her as well. And she is out there. Happy to help.
Yeah,
she was. I'm going to connect you with Ashley.
Thank you.
And she is just fantastic. Yeah. Anybody who hasn't heard her.
I'll connect you with Gemma.
Oh, yes, please. Yes. Because Ashley, for those who haven't heard her, is with a Spanish company called Puig, P-U-I-G.
Yeah.
Net profits for this family business 2 years ago was 400 million. And I think they're going to do 500 or 600 million net.
She was phenomenal.
Unbelievable. And she's in charge of 26 marketing units across the globe. She's still only 30 years old. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant story. Ray Ryan of Knowledge. Awesome. Awesome.
Awesome. And Envisage.
Knowledge Group. Thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Thank you.
It's all go. Let Chrissy know on thatgreatbusinessshow.com.
That Great Business Show.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
And that is it for episode 187 of That Great Business Show. Great business insights and inspiration as usual. Regular listeners know that we're true believers in business mentors. You've heard us talk about them today. So make sure to check out mentorswork.ie to unlock the full potential of your business. It's a fully government-funded mentoring program designed to fuel the growth of your business, no matter the sector or the size. And sign up for email updates and we will send you your own personal copy of the podcast. Sign up at thatgreatbusinessshow.com and do share us, do like us and do give us 5-star reviews. It's all great for us. You can advertise with us at thatgreatbusinessshow.com to have a chat with our incredible audience of entrepreneurs, business owners, business wannabes and investors. And we record here at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where today's studio engineer is, for the first time, Connor Eustace. A huge thank you to Connor. And later, the dynamic duo of studio manager Peter Rice and post-production engineer Neil Horner ensure that we remain the world's best-sounding business podcast. So from me, Conal O'Moran, a buichas to you all, agus slán tamall.